You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Thursday. Good morning to you. Mike McNamara for a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. Me and my faithful dog, Jack, broadcasting from Studio One here in Costa Mesa. All done with Colleen's 17th birthday. Off the hook till she turns 18. That's right. So that's all good. So there's some stuff I saw yesterday, and I want to share it with you because I have this constant theme on the show is waiting for the adults to show up so we can have a grown-up conversation in this country about race, right? So what happened to the adults in the United States? Where did they go? And the answer seems to be they're hiding in their political costumes, which shouldn't surprise anybody, right? So in a time that the nation requires leadership, you have people that are terrified to stand up and tell the truth. And so what they do is they hide behind the political rhetoric of their bullshit political parties. And they don't do what they're supposed to do, which is lead the nation. And so I saw this yesterday. I saw a headline that says, LeBron James is a bigot. And I thought, whoa, what's going on there? Things you don't see every day. So it's written by a guy named Jason Whitlock, who's a media guy. He happens to be a black guy. And certainly taking a position that's contrary to what we see, right, in the mainstream media. For instance, since the shooting of Mr. Blake up in Wisconsin, in Kenosha, Wisconsin, which is just south of Milwaukee, here's the popular narrative. Here's another black guy that just got shot, minding his own business. We can't have this anymore. And you've heard it from, you know, sports figures. You've heard it from coaches. Last night, teams wouldn't play, you know, which is fine. I don't know anybody that, you know, I don't know anybody who gives a shit if they don't play. But again, my concern is that at what point are we going to talk about the truth? And I find that incredibly disturbing. And to me, what's disturbing is that these people are commenting on forums that are one-way discussions. Twitter. Punch it out there. And do you think a sports reporter is going to stand up in front of a whole bunch of other people and say, hey, LeBron, or hey, Coach X, Y, or Z, do you think you got to wait till the facts are in before you light this thing off? No, they're not going to say that, because that would get them ostracized professionally, right? That would get them canceled, even worse. So anyway, so when you see a guy like Jason Whitlock, who's has his, I think he's got his own show someplace. I'm not sure if it's Fox Sports or whatever, but he's been on Fox Sports. You know, he's been on ESPN. So anyway, here's what he writes. Now again, Jason Whitlock, black guy. Okay. Time for Black Lives Matter 101, Volume 4. Black Lives Matter 101 is dedicated to educating professional athletes about the negative consequences of the Black Lives Matter movement. BLM 101 makes every effort to avoid snark and ridicule. Today, that will be difficult. Okay, let's head to the NBA bubble at Disney World and check in with the NBA Police Review Board, headed by Internal Affairs Officer LeBron James. From his Florida hotel, Officer James is leading the investigation into the Kenosha, Wisconsin, police-involved shooting of Jacob Blake. Monday morning, less than 24 hours after Kenosha police shot Blake 7 times, James filed his initial report on the incident, tweeting, quote, "And y'all wonder why we say what we say about the police, exclamation mark. Someone please tell me what the fuck is this, question mark, exclamation. Exactly, another black man being targeted. This shit is so wrong and so sad, exclamation mark. Feel so sorry for him, his family, and our people. We want justice," end of the tweet. Monday night, after acquiring additional information while moonlighting as a small forward in a playoff game against the Portland Trail Blazers, Officer James held a press conference to discuss the shooting. "I know people are tired of hearing me say it, but we are scared as black people in America," James said. "Black men, black women, black kids, we are terrified." James later accused the police of lying. Quote, "If you're sitting here telling me that there was no way to subdue, that gentleman, or detain him, or just before firing guns, then you're sitting here lying not only to me, but you're lying to every African-American, every black person in the community," James said. Now, this is not James. This is Whitlock. "I'm black. I'm not scared. I'm not terrified. Neither is LeBron James. He's lying. He and the political activists controlling him want black people to immerse themselves in fear. Fear is a tool used to control people. If you comply with police instructions, there is virtually no chance of an American citizen being harmed by the police." Quote, "If you watch the video, there were multiple moments where if they wanted to, they could have tackled," he doesn't say his name, "but Blake," Officer James said. "They could have grabbed him, you know, they could have done that. And why? Why does it always have to get to the point where we're seeing guns firing, question point, end of tweet. It's very difficult to investigate police shootings and play NBA playoff games. Officer James is clearly unaware of a second video that shows police on the opposite side of Blake's car wrestling with Blake on the ground. Blake escapes the police, gets to his feet, and walks to the driver's side of the vehicle. I'm sure someone on the NBA Police Review Board will show James the second video at some point on Tuesday. Quote, quite frankly, it's disgusting to have multiple cops around and not even thinking about using a taser, said Lakers forward Kyle Kuzma, one of James's top police investigators. and forget about the taser, just simple combat and taking him out and down instead of shooting him. Again, the Lakers investigation team is clearly unaware of the second video and reports that police initially tried using a taser on Blake. James then speculated on the mindset of police officers who shot Blake. You have no idea how that cop that day left the house, James said. You don't know if he woke up on the wrong side of the bed. You don't know if he had an argument at home with his significant other. You don't know if one of his kids said something to him and he left the house steaming. Or maybe he just left the house saying that today is going to be the end for one of these black people. That's what it feels like. That's what it feels like. It hurts. It just hurts. I'm sure the Kenosha police are saying exactly the same thing about Jacob Blake, who had an active arrest warrant for third-degree sexual assault at the time of the shooting. Blake had previously been arrested for pointing a weapon at people, carrying a concealed weapon into a building, and domestic violence. Did Jacob Blake wake up on the wrong side of the bed Sunday morning? When I watched the initial viral video showing the police shooting of Blake, I was outraged. I waited to calm down. I sent the video to a couple friends and discussed it with them. We wondered why it was only 20 seconds. Why was it edited? Was it edited and then released to provoke outrage, fear, and rioting? I decided it was best to wait for additional information before making any sort of comment. And then in parentheses, I'm still waiting for additional information. This column is not a defense of the police or a vilification of Blake. LeBron James has more than 40 million Twitter followers. Doesn't he have a moral responsibility to be informed and measured before commenting on a controversy that could inspire civil unrest? What's the harm in waiting 48 hours, 72 hours, or a week? Is James intentionally being used as an agent of chaos? His logic is consistent with the logic of white bigots. James uses occasional anecdotes to make sweeping negative generalizations about white police officers. Quote, and you all wonder why we say what we say about the police. James' Twitter feed reads like a transcript from a KKK rally. Can't you hear the Grand Wizard of the Klan shouting to his followers in the aftermath of O.J. Simpson? And you all wonder why we say what we say about black people. Yeah, Jason Whitlock, he's not afraid to go there, man. LeBron James foolishly thinks he's overseeing the police. He's overseeing the black KKK. He's promoting racism. He's demonizing a group of white people based on the behavior of a few. As a black man, that sort of racist tactic should be terrifying. The racist tactic was used to deny us freedom in this country. No one who professes to care about the welfare of black people would adopt the tactics of white bigots. Bigots, regardless of color, have a common trait: ignorance. Ignorance fuels their ego. Information is their enemy. They avoid it at all costs. Negative anecdotes frame their worldview. Bigotry has subdued and detained LeBron James. Black Lives Matter is a clever Twitter hashtag designed to spread racial division. Twitter baits and rewards racial demagoguery. James is addicted to social media. His bigotry is no surprise. How about that? Kaboom. So, and then I think Bernie Kerrigan calls out LeBron James too, says he doesn't know anything about policing. But this came out yesterday, late afternoon Pacific time. The Wisconsin Department of Justice said Kenosha police were summoned to Mr. Blake's home Sunday after a female caller said her boyfriend was present but that he wasn't supposed to be on the premises. Officers attempted to use a stun gun to stop Mr. Blake, but it didn't work. He then walked around his car to open the front door and was leaning forward when Officer Rustine Shesky shot him in the back 7 times. Mr. Shesky, a 7-year veteran of the force, was the only officer who fired his weapon. Investigators recovered a knife on the driver's side floorboard of the vehicle, the department said. The officers involved have been placed on administrative leave and are cooperating with investigators. Now, I was talking about this yesterday. why the fuck would it take 3 days to get that information out? I mean, honestly, there's a term in the Marine Corps that I first heard a couple months ago called the barracks war. And it's a kind of a leadership term about what's going on in the barracks. Are we winning or losing the fight for the behavior that Marines look for, you know, where young Marines live? Do we have Lord of the Flies going on? Is it a place that they can call home? Is it clean, right? Is it well supervised, or is it a shit show? So I heard this term, barracks war. Well, there's things called information wars too. And if you don't think in this day and age, the city of Kenosha, right, was on fire, or parts of it, you had huge demonstrations / riots going on that have now spread to other parts of the country. Might all of that been, to a certain extent, mitigated if whoever's in charge of this information would have said, look, within the next 6 hours, we will have a statement to make on the basic facts involved in this crime because we think they're important. And that is a way of explaining what the fuck happened, because we all know if all you do is watch the edited video, then you get what you get. And for many people in this country, that's all that matters is the video. So if you don't get out there and you don't tell your side of the story, I mean, whoever is in charge of Kenosha County ought to be taken out and publicly caned, okay? Because you were an accomplice to all the destruction, and I would tell you, to two additional deaths that may or may not have happened if this information would have got out and said, look, the investigation is ongoing, but make no mistake about it, this was the sequence of events. And they knew that shit within 2 or 3 hours of this event happening. The initial thing, right, you got to get him out of there, right, you got to calm everything down, and then nobody touches shit. And then, right, the internal affairs people or whoever investigates this shit, then they show up. So within 3 or 4 hours of this thing happening on Sunday, you know the basics. You know the basics. You've interviewed the officers. You've found the knife on the bottom. And if you look at the video, he opens the car door and he leans in. Okay, he doesn't step in like he's going, you know, I'm leaving this place to go to church. That's not what happens. And so we have all these people, this false narrative of this innocent guy who was just minding his own business getting gunned down by the cops. And so for all you political officials out there, for all you mayors that listen to this show, I'm going to tell you something. If this shit comes to your city, to your county, you've got to move like it fucking matters, because information matters. And nobody's telling you to say anything but the truth, okay? But you can't, the days that you can wait 30 days to roll out the fucking facts, yeah, that shit happens in a movie now. So, what I want you to do is perform a rectal cranial extraction, okay? That means get your fucking head out of your ass. So, bend over, okay, grab your earlobes and pull. And when you hear a giant popping sound and you can see light, that means your head's out of your ass. This shit is stupid, right? This shit is so stupid. Black Lives Matter, a catchy phrase, a statement of the obvious. And I will give you just a fact around the planet. If you don't want, as Jason Whitlock said, if you cooperate with the police, none of this shit happens. Where the fuck is that? Why doesn't LeBron James tweet that? Why doesn't Kyle Kuzma say that? Why doesn't Craig Counsell, the manager of the Milwaukee Brewers? Why doesn't he say that? Why doesn't the head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks, why doesn't he say that? Along with all the other shit they said. Because they're scared. They're afraid to actually stand up and lead. Because the facts don't take you in the direction that they want to take you. So where does the slogan Black Lives Matter, because if you go actually look it up and you start reading about it, as Will Cosentini is famous for saying, it doesn't survive the second question. So that phrase, LeBron James's Twitter account, where does all that take us? To Joe Biden? Does anybody believe that Joe Biden will solve this? Shit, Joe Biden is a poster child for the perpetuation of this in democratically controlled cities, in democratically controlled states. This is their reality. This is what they've created. So that's where all this takes us. So again, I am waiting for a group of grown-ups to stand up in this country and say, we want to have an honest dialogue about race in this country and policing in this country. We want to have a dialogue about how do we get people out of poverty in the inner city. What is the ticket out? Because clearly the Democratic Party doesn't get it. Maybe Donald Trump gets it, as much as I hate to say it. That the way out is through business opportunities. Right? So, anyway, good morning to you after that. It's crazy to watch the shit that, and again, where are the adults? Right? It's like having a babysitter that's a maniac. At what point are my mom and dad going to get home and put an end to this crazy shit, man? At what point do the adults show up? But guess what? Nobody's showing up. So it's pretty disturbing. There's more disturbing news, too, that we're going to talk about. How about this one for a headline? Sailor being investigated for arson after blaze aboard the USS Bonhomme Richard, report says. What? How about that for jaw-dropping shit? Yeah, so we'll talk about that. So again, waiting for adults. You know, and it's interesting when you have conversations with this. And I have two daughters, right? 16 and 26. And when you begin to talk about this and you say, okay, did you know this? And they just look at you. Did you know this? And they look at you. And then you say, did you know this? And they look at you. And then you get the look from them like, oh, here we go again. Oh, yeah, what does that mean? Like, do you mean like that inconvenient truth? That inconvenient shit called truth. And so then we have a discussion. And you ask them, so correct me, tell me where I'm wrong. Watch this. Did you read this? And you're going to tell me what? That they try to subdue him, then they tase him, then he's essentially reaching for what they believe to be a knife, and you don't believe that that police officer has the right to defend himself. When does that police officer have the right to defend himself? When he grabs the knife, turns, and tries to stab him and kill him? At that point? It's not the way it works. So then the conversation gets very quiet. Oh, it's the way you argue. Well, I don't argue when I'm not right. But again, this is about the truth, man. This is about the truth. So, good morning to you. Can you imagine if the fire on the Bonhomme Richard is an act of arson? I mean, fuck. What is next in the United States Navy? I saw that this morning, and I went, you've got to be shitting me. Absolutely, positively, un-be-fucking-leavable, if that's true. The fact that it would even be investigating is mind-numbing. And then it burns for 5 days, pier side, in a United States Navy port. I don't, somebody can explain that to me. On a ship that's built for damage control. Don't get it. All right, so now that I'm fired the fuck up, today we're going to talk about Gene Sledge. I gave the Mensa brothers a homework assignment, and that was go through his papers, listen to the interviews, and let's talk about Gene Sledge, who I think is a pretty cool guy. Pretty cool guy, pretty interesting guy. So we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about arson. Like, are you kidding me? So anyway, I'll share that article with you here in a minute. The United States Marine Corps Band makes this morning official. Good morning to you. This is dedicated to the proposition that there are some people in this country, and this may be total fictitious belief on my part, that are grown-ups that aren't afraid of the truth and that still have enough leader in them that they will go ahead and at some point have a conversation about race in this country. This is dedicated to that proposition. I have my fingers crossed. I hope to God you're still out there. And we're all waiting for you because we need you to show the fuck up.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me. I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
We got to win, and now we're having an investigation. We can't even talk about the fucking truth. Tough to win when you're delusional. Right? It's tough to win when you're having investigations about arson. Right? The Navy, man. Something's got to change in a big fucking way in that organization. This is the craziest shit in the world. Let me read you an email. Mac, you're going to blow a gasket pretty soon. Yeah, I'm not happy. I'm not going to lie to you about that. Currently, it is partly sunny in 88 in Northern Virginia in the Quantico area. Down the coast at Camp Lejeune, it is sunny in 87. 29 Palms has cooled off. Sunny in 85. Marine Corps Base Camp Pendleton, overcast in 70. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark, clear in 72. Okinawa, dark, cloudy, 80. Their thunderstorms have waned in Okinawa, and Afghanistan cooled off in the evening, clear in 84 degrees. In the Al Anbar province of Iraq, it is late in the afternoon, sunny and 102. Currently at the home of All Marine Radio, the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of Southern California, it is sunny and 70, looking for a high today of 82 degrees. Tomorrow, 79. Saturday, 80. I'm sorry, 78. Sunday, 77. And Monday, up to 79. Back where we belong in the 70s. Well, no shit. All right. Hurricane Laura is causing destruction. So, I'm looking for a map. Arkansas needs to prepare as Laura continues to head inland. I'm just seeing if it got close to Tim Lynch. And I'm looking for a map. It's already inland from Tim Lynch. The track shows it went ashore well north east of McAllen, Texas, headed into Arkansas, and then it will head through kind of southeast Missouri, northwest Tennessee, southern Illinois, southern Indiana, but the center of it goes through Kentucky, West Virginia, and straight through D.C., as it heads back out to sea and up the eastern seaboard. So that looks to be the track. So I think Tim Lynch is out of harm's way, which is not a bad thing. All right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, I'll share with you the story about the Bon Armour shard. Yeah. How amazing is that? So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it. The All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit veteranscrisisline.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good,
are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
We go to Stars and Stripes. How this story is down the page, I'm not sure. We'll get to it in a second. Top stories, U.S. and Russia blame each other for military vehicle collision in Syria that injured 4 American troops. U.S. officials said a Russian vehicle sideswiped a light-armored U.S. military vehicle, injuring 4 Americans while 2 Russian helicopters flew overhead, one as close as 20 meters from the U.S. vehicle. The Russians are idiots. Just so everybody knows, right? Not only are they liars, but they're idiots. And so, like, does this surprise anybody? No. So that is in the news. The second story that's in the news, above possible arson, right, being investigated on the USS Bonhomme Richard, is this new rocket unit adds to Army's artillery punch in Europe. Like, who gives a fuck about that? Seriously. Since maybe most of the people that read Stars and Stripes are they in Europe? Is that why that story is up so high? So, Stars and Stripes headline, sailor being investigated for arson after blaze aboard the USS Bonhomme Richard, report says. Now, when you see Navy news, where do we go to get Navy news? Everybody answer USNI News. Why? Because they do hard news. That's why. I'm a fan. Anyway, story by Sam Legrone. NCIS and ATF investigating sailor and USS Bonhomme Richard fire criminal probe. That's the story. This post has been updated with additional details since it was first published yesterday at 8:28 p.m. Doesn't say which time zone. Federal agents are questioning a sailor in connection to the July fire aboard the USS Bonhomme Richard. As part of the ongoing criminal investigation into the blaze, three defense officials told USNI News on Wednesday night. Agents from NCIS and the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives are questioning a sailor who was aboard the amphibious warship on the morning of July 12th when a fire in the lower vehicle storage area sparked a blaze that burned for 4 days. So far, the questioning has resulted in no charges, a Navy official told USNI News. Quote, "We want to preserve the integrity of the investigation, and we haven't charged anyone," the official told USNI News on Wednesday. "We don't want anyone to jump to conclusions. We're going to be thorough and methodical." The Navy said they had nothing to announce. The fire did not result in any deaths and only minor injuries. However, for the ship itself, it's unclear if the Navy will repair or restore the 22-year-old Bonhomme Richard. X-billions of dollars. The Sunday morning blaze swept from the lower decks of the ship through the hull, torching almost every part of the ship. Now, the ship in the midst of a salvage and cleanup effort as part of a $10 million contract awarded in July to General Dynamics and General Dynamics NASCO, which is a shipbuilding company. In addition to the criminal investigation, there's also a Third Fleet-led command investigation and safety probe into the fire that's ongoing. Un-be-fucking-leavable. So let's not jump to any conclusions here, sports fans. The Stars and Stripes story. No one has been charged and no motive has been discovered, according to the New York Times. The NCIS and the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms have focused on one sailor from the ship, according to the New York Times, which cited an unnamed Navy official. The Associated Press, citing an unnamed senior defense official, said Thursday that investigators are questioning a sailor considered a suspect. Amazing. So, I mean, honestly, I don't even know what to say. Sent that to a group of friends. One of them replied, "Oh dear Lord, you're kidding me." Like, are you? And so, to me, the only reason I say that is that that's the incredulity. Is that a word? Did I just make a word up? That's the level of disbelief that surrounds this kind of shit. Like, are you kidding me? Yeah, what do you say? Top stories in the Wall Street Journal. Again, I would tell you, if you don't follow the Wall Street Journal news, you're missing out. And I know it's expensive, you know. Find a way to get it on the cheap. Top headlines in the Wall Street Journal. Fed approves shift on inflation goal, ushering in a longer era of low rates. Next headline. Unemployment claims remain historically high. The number of Americans applying for jobless benefits last week suggests employers are still trimming headcounts, even as the broader economy shows some signs of recovering. And then Next headline, Kenosha protests remain largely peaceful overnight. So that from the Wall Street Journal, USNI News. I just gave you one headline. Again, honestly, that's absolutely stunning even to contemplate that somebody would sabotage an American warship. And so I'm going to tell you that I think the Navy has pretty harsh rules about that. And the DOD and the UCMJ still has the death penalty. But I mean, is it okay in the Navy to torch your own ship? I mean, you were having a hard day, you know, you really didn't want to be there. So, you know, you just, you did something that was silly and it got out of hand and the damage control guys can't really do what they're supposed to do anymore. So it fucking torched the warship. A national asset. Again, capable of taking the F-35, which means it's not just this little thing out there anymore. It's a big deal. Yeah. So, give you a couple headlines. There's a story that's important, and it's, you know, something that we... it's something that we don't talk about very much, but icebreakers, Coast Guard icebreakers. Coast Guard icebreaker Healy suffers fire on an Arctic mission. All Arctic operations are canceled. That's not good. Somebody should make sure the Healy gets fixed pretty quick. It's one of the two icebreakers that the Coast Guard has. There's another report that I don't really have time to read, but I'm going to. Here's the headline. Report to Congress on the Pentagon's joint all-domain command and control plan. So I've been interested in this for a long time, and that is, what do we do once we and the Chinese zap each other's satellites? What happens after that? How do we do that? Next headline, this is by Megan Eckstein. We like Megan. Lack of U.S. warship repair capacity worrying the Navy. You fucking think? God forbid, and again, I don't know, I mean, it's pretty ominous, the warning signs when the SECDEF won't submit the Navy's plan because according to the guy who was the nominee to run CAPE, which is the, you know, Will Cosentini gave us a CAPE lesson, but they're like the accounting weenies. They say, okay, yeah, this is what your budget's kind of forecast to be, kind of a wide print, and your shipbuilding plan doesn't have a credible path through those numbers to the point where I won't submit this to Congress. Yeah, that in public, okay? So we have a shipbuilding problem. Now we have a ship repair problem, which doesn't bode well for the Bonhomme Richard, right? Yeah, does not bode well. Email. Did I just hear that right? I caught the tail end of it. The fire on the Bonhomme Richard, possibly arson? You heard that right? Go to USNI News. So it's news.usni.org. Scroll down the page, you'll see the story. Updated since last night when the news first broke, evidently by the New York Times. How about that? Arson, Bonhomme. NPR's got a report. I want the New York Times report, though. That was the original one. And since I haven't clicked on anything at the New York Times in a while, I should be able to read it. Headline, sailor investigated for arson after burning of Navy warship. It took 4 days to extinguish the fire on the USS Bonhomme Richard, which rendered the ship inoperative. A sailor is being investigated for arson in the fire that engulfed the warship USS Bonhomme Richard in July, according to a senior Navy official who did not want to speak publicly during the inquiry. I mean, holy shit, man. It's a huge story. The arson investigation was separately confirmed by a Department of Defense official who was not authorized to speak with reporters. The Pentagon declined to answer questions about the investigation, which was first reported by ABC 10 News in San Diego. Wow, so that's where... Breaking news. No shit, man. Breaking news. Somebody leaked something to somebody in San Diego. So there you have it. Yeah, stunning. No, you did not hear that wrong. You heard that right. A couple more headlines. Surface warfare training grows more complex with tougher scenarios. That's a good thing, right? Navy struggling on all fronts. Navy's got to get tougher. They've got to get more disciplined. And that's just across the board. I mean, and this, good God, you thought the Gallagher thing was bad. You think the SEAL platoon coming home because of, you know, charges of rape and the AP story that just broke last week was bad. All of it's bad, you know, and now arson. I think the social experiment that is the United States Navy is failed. I think, you know, I think I'm standing on terra firma when I say that, and that that the Navy needs a good dose of discipline. Yeah, maybe we should send Marine Corps drill instructors to Navy recruit training. Welcome to the Navy. Interesting report, artificial intelligence and national security. Yeah, the robots are coming. Let's see, Marine Corps Times. National Guard activated in downtown Minneapolis because of unrest. Well, let me tell you, thank God, right, that the little kid who's the mayor of Minneapolis, he learned a lesson. Don't stand around and watch it burn. Bad things tend to happen. Grant Newsham has sensitized me to these kind of issues, but the Secretary of Defense is visiting the island of Palau, which highlights U.S.-China competition. This is written by Robert Burns of the Associated Press. Now, Robert Burns is a big-time guy. He's a big-time reporter. No nation is too small or too distant from Washington, it seems, to be excluded from the Trump administration's campaign to counter China's efforts to supplant America as the dominant Pacific power. Evidence of this is Defense Secretary Mark Esper's decision to fly nearly halfway around the world, partly so he can spend several hours in Palau, an island of barely 20,000 people southeast of the Philippines. There is no suggestion of a direct Chinese military threat to Palau. I can say it. Instead, the island nation is an example of the sometimes obscure battleground on which the United States and China are pursuing great power competition for global influence. The power struggle is intensifying on multiple fronts and is seen by some as an emerging Cold War. Emerging? If you don't see the Cold War has been going on, it's because you're in like Cold War denial. The Chinese have been at war, right, with the United States for a long time. It's just the United States that hasn't done the rectocranial extraction procedure and chooses to look at, you know, China through glasses that are stained with some kind of brown film. And that happens when you have your head up your ass. In defiance of Beijing, tiny pro-American Palau is one of only 15 states with official diplomatic relationships with Taiwan, the self-governing island that China claims is its own territory. Quote, we are concerned about China continuing to try to flip countries that recognize Taiwan today to establish diplomatic relations with China instead, said the secretary, the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for East Asia. We're finding that destabilizing, quite frankly. So, but Grant has made me like China's, you know, and here's what they do. We'll give you free money. We'll give you loans, right? This is their deal. And when you default on your loan payments, then they take over your infrastructure. That's how the Chinese do it. But for a nation, an island nation that doesn't have any other choices, blah, 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 blah. Pretty enticing. Pretty enticing. U.S. says airstrike kills six al-Shabaab in Somalia after an ambush. That's awesome. We'll change nothing. Six more will replace them. This is the modern-day version, as you all know, of the body count from Vietnam. All right, we're making progress. Maybe not. How about this one? Marine Corps officially removes photo requirements for promotion packages. Now, this is interesting because it's not like you're going to not be held accountable for your physical fitness. That will be well documented in your record. Simply the image, right? Simply the image is taken away. So, in theory, you can't discriminate against somebody. Okay, so how far is this going to go? Now, the problem is the unintended consequences of all this. And as we were talking about on the Mensa brothers a few weeks ago, you can make the promotion system completely blind. You can take gender off. You can take race off. You can take the picture off. So we don't know who the fuck this is. We don't know what gender this person is. All we know is what we see in this data profile. Person XYZ. Okay? But what happens? How do you manage the goals you have for women and minorities if that's not a part of the package? And what if the consequences of these boards send you in a different direction? Institutionally, can you handle that? Yeah, the Marine Corps, the Army, fill in the blank of the service. Yeah, they took off all identification, and here's the problem. They got more male, and they got wider. Well, nobody's going to accept that. So we will do this stuff, right? And then they'll do the dance of the iguana to somehow or other thread the needle. So while we will placate this idea that we won't discriminate, we will discriminate, right, in a way that helps us get to be more diverse. So it's this kind of bullshit game that's going on, right? So, you know, you have leaders who say, oh, yeah, we believe in diversity and we want to get there, but we want to take discrimination out of the process. Well, you're talking out of both sides of your mouth. Okay. So anyway, that's a problem. But it's a watershed event. Marine Corps officially removes photo requirements from promotion packages. I'm still not over the arson thing, man. That's just stunning to me. And let me tell you, by the time that gets officially investigated, by the time that son of a bitch somehow or other gets leaked, do you know how far down the road they are in that investigation? That ain't a rumor, okay? That's not a rumor. So anyway, top five stories in early bird. Number one, vehicle collision with Russians injures four U.S. troops. All right, so let's... Robert Burns, his name is on this, to Lolita Baldor. That's a nice name. Like, I don't want to sound like I'm a sexist human being, but Lolita Baldor. Hi, I'd like to introduce you to my friend Lolita Baldor. Oh, hi. I know that sounds pretty sexist, but that's a Lolita, man. That's a, kind of a name with a connotation to it. I'm not saying, oh, Mac, you're such a stereotypical asshole. Like, sorry about that, but I'm just saying. In the most violent skirmish in months between U.S. and Russian forces in Syria, a vehicle collision in the eastern part of the war-torn country left American troops with concussions, two officials said. One official said Russian vehicle sideswiped a light-armored U.S. military vehicle, injuring four Americans. The official said two Russian helicopters flew above Americans, and one of the aircraft was within about 70 feet of the vehicle. To de-escalate the situation, the coalition patrol departed the area. Unsafe and unprofessional actions like this represent a breach of deconfliction protocols. That really bothers the Russians. Why do you think they did that shit? So you would exit the area. Yep, that's why they do it. That's why they do it. I mean, you've seen them smash ships against ships, right? The Russians, not the most sophisticated human beings on the planet. But this is a technique they use to intimidate. And it worked. Concussions, though, those were the injuries. Number two story from the Associated Press. Arson suspected in Bonhomme Richard fire, defense officials say. Arson suspected. We're connecting the wires, but arson is suspected. Number three, U.S. won't cede an inch in the Pacific, Esper says, in swipe at China. And that's the Reuters version of the story where he goes to Palau. Number four, family of Fort Hood soldier demands answers after body found in Texas, attorney said. This is the story. Fort Hood's been in the news for every wrong reason you can imagine. This was a soldier who was evidently a victim of a sexual assault. He was working with the sexual assault coordinators in the Marine Corps. They call them SARCs. And he went missing, and no foul play was expected as he hung himself. So family is another family of a Fort Hood soldier is now up in arms about what happened to their soldier. Number five, concerns about uniformed Marines on camera during Republican convention dismissed by the White House and military officials. So this is kind of an interesting story because there was a story last week that said there were uniformed personnel that appeared in videos at the Democratic National Convention. Well, that's a problem because those people are not like the elected president and stuff like that. And even Kamala Harris, she doesn't rate uniformed military personnel to protect her, and neither does the former vice president of the United States. So when you have political events and uniformed people appearing in those, that's wrong. And everybody's supposed to know that. However, when you have, you know, for instance, Marine guards holding doors and that video is being beamed into the Republican convention because they're not able to do the convention and they're doing it remotely, I think that's a bit different. Just me, if it wasn't, I wouldn't hesitate to say it. All right. Reuters, U.S. and China trade jabs as military tensions worsen. And this is over the Secretary of Defense's trip to Palau. The Army moves to kick out three unit leaders after deadly Bradley accident in Korea. Now, before I even look at the article, and then we'll take a break and we'll get the geniuses on, what ranks do you think these leaders are? I say they're junior. The Army's 1st Cavalry Division has ordered changes to its driver training program and is kicking two company-level officers and a staff sergeant out of the Army as a result of an investigation into a deadly Bradley fighting vehicle accident. A specialist was killed when the right-hand side tread of an M2A3 Bradley came off and caused a massive vehicle rollover during a November 6 road test at Camp Humphreys in South Korea. Before the road test, the soldier had received only 6 hours of hands-on driver training and no classroom instruction. Current Army regulations require 3 days of classroom instruction and 2 days of hands-on driving experience with an instructor before military personnel are given licenses to drive Bradleys. Quote, he never should have been behind the wheel, Kimberly Waverly said. She was told during the investigation brief meeting with Colonel Kevin Capper, the commander of the 3rd Armored Brigade Combat Team. As a result, all 37 companies of the 3rd Armored Brigade Combat Team were ordered to reassess their driver training programs. There were also malfunctions of the vehicle's communication systems, defective or broken equipment, a lack of medical services on base, and significant delays in medical response. What a clown show. What a clown show. Eventually, the first medevac helicopter arrived at the site 80 minutes after the accident, according to the letter. And somebody's dead, who probably shouldn't have been dead. And why couldn't you get him some kind of medical help, you know, by putting him on a vehicle and moving them? Why would you sit there for 80 minutes and wait for that shit? So anyway. All right, we'll take a break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. The Mensa Brothers coming up right after this on a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio. We'll talk about Gene Sledge. We'll talk about pictures. And we'll talk about the arson investigation of the Bonhomme Richard. Stunning. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.